We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren.
Hi everyone, I'm super excited for today's episode, but before I introduce our lovely guest, I'd just like to ask you if you could leave us a review on wherever you're listening to the podcast, either on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Me and Anna are really on a mission to help as many busy women create a successful and profitable business as we can. So we would love you just if you could take a few minutes to leave a review, because it really does help us spread the word. And if you sign up to our podcast newsletter, you can also get your hands on our Year in Review Planner, which is a downloadable resource to help you set your shop up for success. So there's a link in the show notes where you can sign up to that. So on with today's show. So hi, Anna. Hi, Imelda.
Good morning.
Hello.
Here I am. Hi.
Oh, so I'm going to introduce our lovely guest. So we've been joined today by the lovely Imelda all the way from San Francisco. And now, Imelda, I'm going to let you tell everyone what you do shortly, but I'm just going to say you're from Sunset Shutterbug and you are a product photo coach, which I'm super excited to hear more about. So I'd love you just to tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to chat with you both. So I am in San Francisco and I teach product photography to makers and like the handmade community. And it's something I sort of fell into. I originally was doing, I was working a corporate job as an office manager and wanted to completely take a detour and do something completely different and look at teaching photography, but I really didn't know who. And so as a former Etsy seller, back way in 2011, I was part of the San Francisco like maker community, and it's quite large here, the Etsy community. So I was very involved with that. And when I was telling my maker friends, hey, I want to teach photography, I'm just kind of trying to figure things out, they were telling me, can you teach us product photography? Like, we would really find it really useful. And at the time, I just really was like, I felt like the least qualified person because my product photos were anything but great. So in some ways, I took it as a challenge to think, okay, let me see if I can try to do this. And I attempted it, especially after I had sat down and talked with a couple makers about what their challenges were with photography, how they viewed product photography for their business and everything. And just having those conversations just made me feel like, okay, I need to help these people because they were just struggling. And it's such an essential part of selling online and selling, you know, handmade products. So I kind of reluctantly took on product photography, but I've found it as a really great way for me to stay connected with the maker community, because the maker community is amazing. There's so many talented people and it's a tight knit community. So that's kind of how I came to be a product photographer.
Right. I love that. I think sometimes it's amazing how things just kind of work out. It was like your community found you even before, and you started probably before you were even ready, but you decided you were going to do it anyway. So I think they are great things to take away from that, Imelda, don't you, Anna?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think as well, the fact that you are a product photography coach who used to be an Etsy seller, I think that's actually really special, because I think a lot of photographers who, you know, might advise, whether it's makers or just businesses in general, they're not coming at it necessarily from already being themselves in the maker or e-commerce business. And I think that's actually a really big missing piece. So the fact that you have that, and I'm going to ask you, what did you used to sell on Etsy?
Oh, I was thinking that too. I'm glad you've asked that, Anna.
I used to sell photo greeting cards, which, looking back now, you know, when you look at like your first products, the things that you first started selling, a lot of times you're thinking, how did people buy? Why do people pay me for this? So I did, I really love photography, and I would just, you know, go around and take pictures of different things. And I put those images on cards. I also did some magnets, which I don't know, that was kind of an attempt, but they weren't great. But I did that, and then also prints. So I sold photo products and struggled with product photography. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, Lindsay and I have spoken about this quite a few times on the podcast, how important product photography is to your handmade business. Like, it is, I always say, keywords get you found, photographs get you sold. So yeah. In your kind of words, how important is photography to a handmade business?
It's, I mean, what you just said is key, because you can have the best SEO, you could have the best marketing, you can have all of that other stuff, but if your images are not showing your product in the best light, take it as a pun right there, you know, it's going to be hard to attract customers. It's going to be really hard to be able to communicate the quality of your work through your images, because when you're selling online, and not even if the purpose is to sell online, it might be, you know, you want to do wholesale, you might want to do consignment, you might want to try to get into an in-person craft show. Like, it's such a front-facing aspect of your business that you really can't, in some way, you can't really afford not to work on your photos. Because the other thing too is, you know, if we think about when we're shopping online, not necessarily buying handmade products, but just, you know, you're shopping online, doing, you know, shopping just for gifts, or, you know, buying something from, you know, a large e-commerce website, those images tell us whether or not we even want to like look at their products. Right. And if you think about it, I have this like analogy. It's like, are you photographing for like Facebook Marketplace, or are you photographing for, you know, like handmade, you know, really amazing quality products? Like, you have to think about who your customer is and what perception you want to give your customers, you know, because you kind of think about like handmade products. And I think back in the day, you know, we kind of thought about it as like kind of like a hobby, like kind of just something like your grandma did or something. But, you know, handmade products are like a whole nother level now. And you want to be able to communicate that with your images and show that, hey, I'm a trustworthy, legit business owner here. I take my work seriously. And really putting the work and the effort to figure out, okay, how can I make my product look the best that it can in the images, is like everything.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. First impressions definitely do count, don't they, with product photography?
Yeah. I mean, because yeah, if you think about, if you're taking pictures like you would if you were just selling products like secondhand on Facebook Marketplace, and you think about that photography, if that was on Amazon, would you buy those products? Yeah.
I think that's a great analogy, actually, and just something for people to bear in mind. Because it for me, photography is a make or breaks a sale. So yeah, I think that's brilliant, and definitely something for people to think about. Mm-hmm. So Imelda, I'd love you, obviously you're now an expert on this field. So what common mistakes do you see handmade business owners making with their product photography? What has you screaming and thinking and wanting to shout at the screen, no, don't post that?
there's a lot of things that do, but I'll kind of keep it to like three kind of like very general things that everybody who is selling handmade products really should pay attention to and think about. So one of them is assuming that any light that you have to take pictures is fine, that it's good. And it's one thing that I actually, it was one of the big mistakes I made when I was photographing my products when I was selling on Etsy, is I just assumed, you know, the light in my living room that, you know, you use to, you know, watch TV and all that stuff was fine and was adequate. And when in reality, it wasn't, because my light is meant to, you know, just be around for me to watch TV. I'm not trying to take high quality product photos, right? So your lighting is really, really, really important. So my kind of thing was, I never really thought about what my light source was. So now, I mean, obviously, you know, using natural light is free. It makes pretty much anything look really good. So I think really understanding what your light source is doing to make your product, how it's making it look, is really important. So using natural light, or if you're going to use like studio artificial lighting, making sure you're using that, not mixing light sources, which is something like I did. You know, if you're using natural window light and you're photographing, you know, on your dining room table, make sure you're not leaving your indoor lights on, because you can get weird color casting and everything. And your product might look weird, like the colors might be thrown off. So just really paying attention to your light is really, really important. It can really dramatically shift the way your image looks. The other thing is not editing your photos. Now, this is something I didn't do when I was selling online. I totally didn't think about editing photos. And a lot of people, I think, don't either. They don't think they need to, or maybe they're intimidated by editing, or they know they need to edit, but they're just really don't know what they're doing. But again, it's like you have to remember that these images are what are going to attract customers. So you want to make sure your image looks the best it can. And when you're taking pictures with your camera's going to do the best it can. But generally, they need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of editing, a little bit of tweaking. So it's really important to edit your photos, whether you're posting them on your Etsy shop or your Shopify store or even on social media, because images sell. People buy images. They don't necessarily buy the product, right? You think about Instagram, yeah. Very visually beautiful. We like the look that it gives, but like, you know, when we think about we show the pretty part of like life or whatever on there, but you don't really understand what it really might look like in reality. So you might want to make sure that the images that you're putting up of your products like look the best that they can. And then just lastly, like the backgrounds, like really paying attention to what background you're using for your product and making sure that the background is just in the background, that it's not dominating and overpowering your product, because you want your customer to be able to look at your image easily and say, oh, that's what they're selling, and not get distracted by what's going on in the background. So those are a couple things that I see makers making that could really drastically change the way their products look if they did a little bit of work there.
Oh, I think that's great tips and advice there, Imelda. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say that is actually really, really useful, simple, you know, things that you can just go ahead and just start doing, you know, immediately. And I've got actually two questions. The first one is, when it comes to editing, do you have any like apps or, you know, tools that you would recommend for editing photographs?
I mean, a lot that's out there is pretty good. I mean, if you're editing on your phone and you're taking photos with your, you know, your iPhone or whatever, I really like Snapseed. It's free. It's pretty easy to use. And I use Adobe Photoshop or like Lightroom on my computer, but you don't have to use, you know, you don't have to use that. I know that's like a subscription based thing and some people might not want to do that. There's one that I have used called befunky.com, and I believe they have free features on there. You can pay to get like a subscription, but I've never paid for it. And you don't even have to create a login, because there is an option where you can create a login. But the stuff that's free is pretty much all you would really need. It has like all the really, you know, basic thing like contrast, brightness, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of free stuff out there. So yeah, I mean, those are kind of the ones that I tend to use. But, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of the different apps and out there have very similar features and are good.
Well, thanks for those. And I will definitely link everything that you just said in the show notes so that people can just, you know, click along to those apps and websites. But I think another question I had was, when it comes to, you know, physically getting the best light, as in like a tangible way, what would be the best kind of way to get good lighting, in your opinion?
So, good lighting is kind of a little tricky to define. I would say good lighting is something that allows your product to be easily seen, that has very kind of even, soft lighting, doesn't have really harsh shadows. And you know, you're not super far away from your light source. So if you're using natural light and you're photographing indoors next to a window, you know, don't be, you know, 10 feet away. Like when I photograph my products that I'm using natural window light, I'm like 4 feet from the window. Like I'm not really far. North facing windows are really great because they're indirect. And indirect is going to give you that soft, even lighting. If you're using south, east, or west facing window light, it's a little trickier because your product, the light that hits your product is going to potentially have more shadows and more uneven lighting. And that is, there isn't necessarily like bad lighting. I mean, there kind of is, but it really depends on what you're photographing, because there's a purpose for every type of light. But I usually recommend when you're photographing products to use like really even, like soft lighting. And it's the same thing if you're using studio lights or using like artificial light. You know, even if you're using a lamp, like a household lamp, and you're using a daylight bulb in it, it's the same thing. Like you want to be able to try and create like soft lighting. Because the thing is, when you're using lighting that creates like very harsh shadows, is you can't really see the complete detail of your product. There might be parts of your product that are harder to see, which You want your customer to be able to see it. And you also could be different light quality can change the color and the way your product looks. So you have to be like really aware of what you're doing with your lighting. And I one thing I'm very kind of vocal about is not using light tents or light boxes, which I know a lot of makers use. But for me, and what I suggest and what I've heard from makers who do use it and say, hey, I'm using this, like what, I don't like how my photos are coming out, is because they're very constrictive. And depending on what product you're photographing, if you're photographing something that's really reflective, sometimes like jewelry, you know, ceramics, things that are glass, like I'm thinking about, you know, people who sell like candles, like they have them in those glass containers. Sometimes it often just gives you too much light and you can't control it. You can't do anything. Plus, you're also very confined as to where you can take your picture, right? It's usually on one side, maybe on the top, but you can't. It's really difficult to take photos. So I'm on the side of like ditch the light tent. Like you're better off saving your money and, you know, getting a piece of foam core board or mat board and using that as a setup next to a window. Like you'll save so much money, but it'll force you to have to really think about how can I make my product look better. And 9 times out of 10, it always looks better.
Yeah, well, I think that's great advice, Imelda. But I think so many people, especially when they start out, they think they've got to buy all the stuff. They've got to have the light box and, you know, a fancy camera and all of that. But actually, you know, just that natural light. And, you know, I do all my product photography on my phone. You really, you know, with the right apps, you can really create some still great results, can't you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I use a point and shoot camera. Like it's really basic. I have my phone. I use natural light. I've done some artificial, you know, light photos, but my setup to me, my setup is like well under $100. Like it's really inexpensive. And even when I was teaching myself how to do this, I didn't buy anything. Like I didn't have any fancy equipment. I didn't have like a fancy tripod. Like I had like, I don't know, maybe like a $20, $30 tripod. You know, it's, and I think it was part of it was to me to prove not only to myself, but also to prove that you can take really great product photos when you understand like the basics, when you really start understanding, okay, what is the light doing? Okay, that's not working. Let me try this instead. But you really don't need to spend that much. And that's the thing is I hear from makers who say like, oh, I have all this equipment, I have all these things, and nothing's working. And it's the thing is that you got to get the basics down, and then you can integrate whatever equipment might be helpful for you to take pictures. So.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. So one thing that I'm sort of keen to know your opinion on. So how important do you think styling is to product photography? And do you recommend that people use props to style their photos?
I think props can be very helpful. Kind of going back to my comment about Instagram and how, you know, a lot of images there are very beautiful and we all like the, you know, liking images and commenting. The reason that they're so popular is they convey a feel. They convey a kind of ideal look, right? And that's what using props and taking lifestyle photos will do. It really helps your customer think about how would this look in my life, you know, or how is this product, you know, how does this product work, like that type of thing. And I think it is important because it really can be the thing that helps people be able to decide, hey, I do want to buy this, right? Because you can take, I mean, obviously there's use in having like standard product photos, because your photos are there to communicate information to your customer at the end of the day. If they look beautiful and they look great, like props to you, you know, added bonus. But having a photo and using some props to convey how the like feeling that your product might create for your customer is really, it can be really like motivating for them. So usually when you're using props, one of the things I see is that there is makers using too many props, or like using props that don't make sense with what they're selling. So it's really important, if you're going to use props, to really think about them thoughtfully. Think about, does this make sense with what I'm selling? Does this make sense with the brand that I am? And you can start integrating them, but making sure that they're not dominating over your product. They're not taking away, because that can happen really easy. And there are times where I'll look at pictures and I'll say, I don't know what I'm looking at. Like, what's being sold here? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Because they have other props and stuff going on. So keep it simple with props, be really thoughtful, and make sure that your product is always going to be the star of that image.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because it can be sometimes, can't it? Like you say, people, if they have too many, you're really not sure what it is they're selling, and the props can outshine the products if you don't get the balance right, I find.
Yeah, I think it is actually quite a skill to be able to create a lifestyle image where you are still selling your product, but making it clear. Like, I am coaching somebody at the moment who makes reusable products, and I was advising her that, you know, she might want to take a picture of her products in a nice jar, specifically face wipes. This was for reusable face wipes. And I was saying, you know, like, take a picture of them in a jar in the bathroom, or, you know, like on a shelf. So it's kind of finding that balance of showing the product in a lifestyle space without making it too cluttered or too overpowering, too distracting for the eye, whilst also explaining to the customer, this is where you could see the product in your house. Yeah. So it's like this fine balance. But what are your top three tips then for taking great photos kind of overall?
Some people might not like this, but this is the reality. These are the things that have helped me be able to take photos and teach myself. Like, I didn't learn this stuff from anybody, essentially. Like, I didn't get coaching, right? So the thing is really learning the basics. Like, newsflash, like, you know, getting the basics down is going to really move the needle in helping you improve your photos. So that's, you know, like I had mentioned before, like figuring out your lighting, really understanding how light affects your product and taking pictures, you know, figuring out what backgrounds you're going to use, keeping all this stuff is really important to keep simple. Like, it can be really easy to overcomplicate and say, like, oh, I need to take this, you know, really amazing photo that I saw on Instagram or I saw in this Etsy shop. And it's like, just keep it simple. You know, start somewhere, have a good baseline, and then, you know, work yourself up. But backgrounds, keep it really simple. Like, boring, it may look boring, but if it sells your stuff and it makes it easy for your customer to see, that's the goal, right? And, you know, doing a little bit of editing, like practicing and making sure that you are taking a few minutes to just edit your photo before you add it to your listing is really important. So getting the basics down is really important. Practice. A lot of makers, because product photography is such a pain point and a frustrating experience, it can be very easy to procrastinate. I know that's something that I did when I was selling on Etsy. I didn't want to take pictures. You kind of take pictures when you really need to, right? But honestly, what's helped me so much, and I know has helped some of my clients, is really dedicating time to practice and not using, oh, I need to take pictures now because I need to list this as your practice. It's like deliberately setting time to say, okay, I'm going to practice for, you know, 30 minutes this week and see what happens. And experiment. That's the other thing that has really helped, is being okay with trying new things. And as they say, if you don't like the results, like, or what's that saying? If you keep doing the same thing, you keep getting the same results, like, don't expect anything different, right? However they say it, I'm not very, but not very good at quoting that, but you kind of get what I mean. And it's a really important experiment. Like, it's a process. Like anything that we learn, you know, when you're learning how to create, you know, your work, it's a process. You kind of have to figure it out as you go and see what do you like, what don't you like. And it's the same thing with product photography, is being able to experiment and know that all your photos aren't going to be great, because there's going to be times when you're taking pictures and you say nothing came out. Like, I hate all my images. But don't use that as a reason to not take pictures, because I take pictures and I'm sitting there for like, you know, 2 hours taking pictures and I hate everything. Like, I don't like anything, but it doesn't keep me from saying, oh, I'm going to try again tomorrow, or I'm going to try next week and I'm going to try something different because I know what I don't like. So let me do something different. So being able to experiment is really important. And just like an added little bonus tip that I think has been really helpful, is when you feel unmotivated or you feel uninspired, especially if you don't know how to photograph your product, or you're saying like, I don't know what to do, utilize Instagram and utilize Etsy. Because if you do a search for your products, or you do a search just to see what other people are using as images to sell their products, it can be very motivating and say, oh, I really love this photo because XYZ. I'm going to try this next time and, like, you know, do a screenshot or save the image or something. So that when you go and you take pictures, you have something that you can try and replicate and see what happens, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to like start from scratch and say like, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I supposed to do? I'm stuck. There's like bazillions of images out there on the internet. Like, use Instagram as some inspiration. Use other Etsy shops and see the images that they're using to help you keep moving forward.
Oh, they are just brilliant tips, Imelda. I'm sure people will really sort of take a lot away from all of those. I think as well, we do sometimes we forget that we have to practice these skills, and we think, oh, I'm just going to be an expert at photography, I'm going to be an expert at this. But just like when we're learning to make something, photography is something that has to be practiced too. So, you know, I love that that's kind of one of your tips. I think that's just such great advice.
I really appreciate the fact that you said it's a pain point as well for so many sellers, because that is the number one thing that I hear, is like, the photography is such a pain point because we're not naturally born photographers. Like, and some people are, they're very lucky.
Well, I mean, for me, when I was taking photos for Etsy, I didn't know what I was doing. I, in some ways, I felt very ashamed that I didn't know how to photograph my products, because I was selling photo products, which I thought was weird. You know, I kind of thought, well, I should know how to do this. But there's so many different types of photography, and they all have more or less the same base, right? They have like lighting, being able to understand lighting is like essential, but they all have their own different skills that are required. And photographing products is very different than photographing a person, right? Like somebody who's like shooting portrait or shooting weddings, like is all about understanding like the basics of it. So when I attempted to take product photos again, I just thought, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Like I can't be better than what I was doing before. But I really kind of actually took the time. And I think that was made a huge difference as I thought, okay, let me actually really spend time and try to figure this out, because clearly what I was doing before wasn't helping, wasn't working. I wasn't getting the results I wanted. But when I actually took the time to figure out, okay, what happens when I do this? Okay, it does that. Okay, let me do something different because maybe I don't like that. And that's the thing is it really does take practice. And I also understand that for makers, product photography is like one of one zillion things that they're doing, right? It's not the main part of their business. Their main part of their business is I want to make really awesome stuff and like sell it, right? So that's the other thing is that, you know, it's one of many things that a business owner is doing, but it's also like such an essential part of their business, you know?
Yeah. And as well, because like I make jewelry, so I've got to photograph not only close-ups of jewelry, which like you said before, with lighting and it being a reflective object is in itself a whole thing, especially because some of my products are lockets, so they're outside rims sometimes, they're like actual mirrors, they reflect, you know, just trying to not have my camera inside the image of the rim. But then on top of the close-ups of jewelry, they've also got to take packaging shots. And then what as in my opinion has been the most difficult thing for me to photograph has been models wearing my jewelry, because that is a whole other ball game of photography, because I've had to take most of the shots outside. So then sometimes, you know, you've got to wait until the sun sets in a specific part of the sky. Otherwise, it's too harsh and the images are yellow. So, yeah, it is, like I said to you, I appreciate the fact that you said it is such a massive pain point because of how we've said at the beginning, it is so important. But there's so many things that you have to think about. And exactly what you just said, it is not the only thing that we have to think about, because we have so many other things to be doing. But it is worth, as you say, practicing and not getting demotivated and looking for inspiration from other people. And then eventually you do get the knack of it and you do kind of understand what works well. Not just because you feel good taking the photographs and you like looking at the photographs, but also because you start selling your products more. So clearly it must be working. So yeah, I really appreciate everything you've just said. But Lindsay, I'm going to hand it back over to you because we went on a whole tangent there.
So Imelda, you've shared so much amazing knowledge and wisdom with us today. I would love you to share what services that you offer.
Sure. So right now I do offer private one-on-one coaching. So if you are a maker who is like throwing your hands up and you're like, I can't do this on my own. And you're looking for more personalized support. You know, I do offer, you know, coaching if somebody's interested in working with me and learning how to better photograph their products and have me as like their accountability / cheerleader here helping you, you know, reach your goals. So
that sounds amazing.
And where can people go to find out about how to work with you?
I am at sunsetshutterbug.com, and I'm also on Instagram at sunsetshutterbug without the U in bug.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and Anna on the show today, Imelda. It has been absolutely amazing all the information you've shared. You know, I think everyone listening will just find it so, so helpful. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Imelda. Really appreciate it as well.
Yeah.
Just a quick heads up. What time is it, Imelda, where you are right now?
It is almost 6 a.m.
So we even more appreciate Imelda.
Yes, definitely.
Coming up so early.
I only get up this early for very special people. So, you know.
Well, we're
thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So thanks so much to everyone for listening to today's episode. Please do go and check out Imelda at her Instagram and on her website. You will definitely not be disappointed by all the good stuff that you see. So please go and check her out. And thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another episode. So take care, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.